everybody. Welcome back to the second Dr. Sue Show. This is where we talk about real divorce issues. And thank you, everybody, for joining me last week. It was a great debut, and thank you everyone that contacted me and was excited about this show. I'm really excited to be here with you every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m., bringing you great guests who are going to help you to navigate through your divorce. I have another great guest with me in studio that I'm going to bring in a few minutes. I hope everybody's being safe out there right now. I just actually got in a minute before I was supposed to go on air. A lot of traffic out there, so stay safe. I know a lot of parents are driving to get their kids right now. So today we're going to talk about conflict and how to get through that. And something that I don't think enough people in divorce use enough time is mediation. And mediation is a great strategy that can be used in all kinds of different divorce cases. Everybody going through a divorce has different needs. I know that from the clients that I work with. And it's very difficult sometimes for people to negotiate how they want the custody to be, or how they want arbitration to go, or how they want their finances to be split. But mediation is a much simpler way to get through this, where the both of you can sit down and navigate through this with someone. And so joining me today in studio is one of the best mediators in town, and his name is Bill Donahue, and he's from Transitions Mediation Center, and I want to welcome him to the show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Sue. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you, and I think the listeners out there are going to get great information from you today.
Thanks. I think so, too.
You know, you and I have talked before. There's celebrities that go through extremely difficult divorces. You know, I'm thinking maybe Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt right off of my head. That must have been pretty contentious. Or Brad Pitt again with Angelina Jolie. And sometimes going the traditional legal route, I feel, pits two people against each other to argue to the point where sometimes there's no coming back. What are your thoughts on that?
It does. So absolutely. The litigation system is designed intentionally to be adversarial. It pits two people against each other with the theory that at some point a judge is going to render a decision. Even though we know most cases are settled, they go to battle.
Mm-hmm.
And the more complex, the more celebrity is involved, the worse the battles tend to get. One of the great things about mediation and why so many celebrities and athletes and business tycoons use it is because it's private. It doesn't end up in the newspapers.
Right.
It doesn't end up on TV. And even the settlements are usually kept secret. So it's for people like that, mediation is ideal.
Okay. How does the mediation process differ in terms of how people would move through this in comparison to, family law court?
To litigation.
To litigation, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, the whole difference is the whole process starts out differently.
Okay.
When I meet with a couple, they are sitting in front of each other and in front of me, which is a fundamental difference from litigation, because in litigation, the wife goes to her attorney and the husband goes to his attorney. All the conversation, all the information, all the communication goes through the two attorneys, because it has to be that way. In our process, they're sitting face to face and they're talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, as you know from the work that you do,
yes,
is profound. If you funnel communication through third parties, especially more than one of them, it's a whole different process.
And a lot of people will say, oh, Bill, I can't do that. I can't even sit in front of my ex and look at them and talk to them. But you know what? You'd be surprised, because I've had people in my office before, too, that have said, I can't be in the same room with this other person. But once they can hear each other and have their sides validated by a separate party.
Yep.
They feel as though they're being heard and then can communicate with the other party. Do you find that in your work as well?
Absolutely, all the time. And it's pretty, I mean, I specialize in high conflict divorce mediation, which most people say, are you crazy? But they're the people who need it most.
Absolutely.
And they're the ones who will say to me when I tell people what I do, what you just said, I couldn't do that. I couldn't sit and talk to my spouse. And I say to them, well, that what's the alternative? You know, where do you want to be? Where do you want to end up? And do you think that the litigation process will get you there? If I can get them to sit down, and we set ground rules, you know, you need to listen, and we talk about how you listen, and we talk about responding and how you respond. And as people learn those skills, which so often we don't use in everyday life.
We don't even use them with other people in everyday life.
That's right.
We want what we want, right?
Yep. And we listen to each other so often to respond, as opposed to listening to hear what they're saying. And so in mediation, a big part of what I try to do, especially with high conflict couples, is to create that atmosphere where they can talk and help them to understand that if they don't learn to communicate better than they did during the marriage, they're not going to get anywhere. And so as they listen to each other and the communication skills improve, a lot of the anger goes away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because anger so often is based on fear and misunderstanding.
Yes.
And all that. So as they begin to communicate, sometimes for the first time in years.
That's right. That's a great point. And I feel the same way you do. If they can dissolve some of that anger. Anger blocks people from making good, positive decisions.
Right.
And I don't blame people for being angry at each other, you know. But as you said, you know, the communication prior to the divorce wasn't good.
Right.
So they should have been doing something then to learn how to communicate better.
That's true. But for most people, there's no venue for learning that.
That's right.
You know, now sometimes when people go to individual therapy or marriage counseling, they will learn those things. And if they do, they often don't end up with me.
That's correct. You know, they end up with me.
But if they don't learn them, they do end up with me.
Exactly.
And that's the point. But, you know, you talk about anger, and a lot of anger that people bring to divorce and to whether it's mediation or litigation is certainly very valid. Things were done to them that, you know, they were victimized in some way. Mm-hmm. So the anger is often very legitimate. But the driving force behind most anger that I deal with in mediation is based on fear.
And let's talk about that for a little bit, because fear is such a strong word, which holds a lot of people back from doing a lot of things and taking risks.
Yep.
And if you're afraid that you're not going to get what you feel is owed, then you, a lot of times, I think, you know, lash out.
That's right. And in divorce, people are so afraid that they're not going to be able to maintain their lifestyle. They're not going to be able to maintain their relationship with their children.
Yep.
That they're going to lose their standing in the community, in a church, in at work.
Yes.
All those things that a stigma will attach. And just that fear of the unknown, the future, stepping into that next place where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so with very high conflict couples, it's often fueled by that fear. And if you can take their future step by step and say, you know, well, if you have this, you'll be here. And if you have this, you'll be here. And how do we work on your relationship with your children to make sure it doesn't splinter? You can see watching them that the fear goes away.
I agree with you.
And when the fear goes away, then the anger begins to dissipate.
Absolutely.
You know, because they often, and clients say this to me all the time, and more so, I think, my litigation clients, but also my mediation clients, when they're in the heat of a very difficult divorce, they say, will this ever go away? And so what do you say?
Or will this ever stop?
Yeah. But for most people, I find that 6 months after a divorce, a year after a divorce, no matter how angry and, you know, crazy they were during the divorce, it tends to dissipate, and it tends that they have better lives.
And I find that it dissipates. Another great point you build up is when they feel that they have someone really supporting them through this. Mm-hmm. And that is why I think mediation is a great way to go, because somebody is supporting both of them.
That's right.
Someone is sitting there, you, hearing both sides and really listening. Mm-hmm. And I know you do that. And trying to find a way for these two people to coexist for That's the right. rest of their lives. And when you have children, it doesn't matter how much you despise each other.
That's
you
true.
Are still their parents for the rest of your life, and you are in your children's lives.
That's right. And it can be done a couple of ways. I always say to my clients who are very angry at the other mm-hmm. parent, there is nothing that you can do to hurt that other parent that isn't going to hurt the child.
I love that, and that's nothing. What I believe too.
And so the question is, how do they really move forward? Not move forward like, okay, we're going to pretend like we're okay. And what I tell them is that, you know, you need to work on what I was talking about before, mm-hmm. the communication skills. You need to consider your relationship with the other parent and take active steps going forward to repair it, because you're going to be parents for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to be grandparents. You're going to have weddings, christenings, birthdays,
graduations,
bar mitzvahs,
yes.
first communion, all that stuff. To say nothing of holidays, you know, all
I
those
know.
Kinds of things. And if you're, and the weddings are the biggest one, I think.
Oh, I do
too. You know, the fear that one parent wouldn't go. My son has a friend mm-hmm. that happened to.
I have clients that's happened to.
Right.
And one spouse will say to the other, you think you're coming to his wedding? You better think again.
Right.
I mean, that's just hurting the child.
Right.
But when
a lot. I mean,
a lot,
and
a lot,
child
a lot.
Will not soon get over that.
That's correct.
You know?
But I think if they learn early on in the mediation, or learn how to communicate with each other mm-hmm. and let a lot of this anger go, what they don't fully understand is if they can do that, they will be living their lives in a more peaceful way. Litigation
That's right.
is two people both presenting their sides, and sometimes in a nasty way, is destroying the other person.
That's right.
And it's pitting two people against each other, and the kids are stuck in the middle.
Yeah, well, so often in a litigation situation, people are called upon to do and say awful things about the other side
yes.
to win.
That's correct.
In mediation, you win by making sure that both sides come out well.
Yes.
That's winning.
And when we come back from our break, we are going to talk about how you manage each person coming out with a win.
Great. Sounds wonderful.
All right. We're going to go to a short break. You are listening to Real Divorce Talk with Dr. Sue Kornbluth. We'll be back in just a minute.
We all know co-parenting can be a difficult task to manage. It is hard to find a way to agree when it comes to parenting your children. It is hard for people to communicate and work together after divorce and or separation. When you feel stuck, you need a seasoned expert to help you move forward. My name is Stephanie Newberg, and I have been working with parents for years to help them create a more amicable and productive co-parenting relationship. I understand your needs and frustrations. I also specialize in working with children and adolescents and can integrate the children into your family counseling and co-parenting work as well. Get help when you need it most by calling me, Stephanie Newberg, at stephanienewberg.com for a free phone consultation. My number is 610-883-0127. 610-883-0127. I can work with you in person, by Skype, or by video conferencing. Once again, that's stephanienewberg.com, or you can call me directly at 610-883-0127.
Transitions Mediation Center has been offering a full range of divorce mediation services for more than 25 years. I'm Bill Donahue, founder and director of Transitions. Litigated divorce is not easy. Fighting, wasted time, tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. But the truth is, divorce doesn't have to be that way. Divorce mediation offers a very different option. I help my clients focus on common interests to resolve their divorce. Is mediation right for you? For most people, the answer is yes. It works if you're amicable, but it also works for very high conflict couples. They're the ones who have the most to lose from litigation. You may think mediation won't work if you're wealthy or have complex financial lives, but remember, corporate tycoons and movie stars mediate their divorces every day. Are you getting divorced? Call me at Transitions Mediation Center, 609-238-9245. I offer a free consultation. And visit our website, itsmydivorce.com, because it really is your divorce.
I'm Lee Schwartz, managing partner of the Schwartz Jordan Law Group. We are experienced family law attorneys who will help you through your divorce, support, custody, and other family law concerns. Our philosophy is simple: to provide you with the advice, guidance, and support you need to make sound and educated decisions that will prepare you for your future. We help our clients with all family law matters, including divorce and division of property. The lawyers at Schwartz Jordan have extensive experience assisting clients in child custody matters, child support, protection from abuse, and the preparation of premarital and separation agreements. Family law is all we do. For more information or to confidentially discuss your family law concerns, call us today at 215-967-9070 or go to our website at www.schwartzjordan.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with me on this dreary afternoon. But, you know, the sun will come out tomorrow, as they say. So let's believe in that, although it hasn't come out for about 5 days. But I'm a firm believer in hope, and so there will be sun. Let me first thank our sponsors, because without them, the show would not be possible. I want to thank Schwartz Jordan Law Firm, Bill Donahue, who's here with us today, of Transitions Mediation Center, Jody Bruins of Divorce Lending Association, Stephanie Newberg, your answer for marriage and family therapy, and Barbara Rowans, financial divorce planner. So happy that every one of these people will be in studio with me, and we have Bill here today, who is the guru of mediation. I almost said meditation, but you know what? You could use some of that in mediation.
That's true. People still call me and say, what's divorce meditation, though?
Right. It's mediation. And so before we went to the break, I think you gave a lot of great information. But a lot of people out there, Bill, will say, mediation's not going to work for me. Our case is too high conflict. We're too angry at each other. What do you say to that?
Well, what I try to do is create an environment where the anger will dissipate. Because until you get them communicating effectively with each other, they will just do what they've done throughout their marriage, which is, for the most part, how they got to where they are now.
So give me some of your special techniques that you use to do this. I mean, let's say two people come in and sit down. I know you've told me some stories where somebody got up and, you know, left the room.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure can happen.
Well, what I'll say to people, first of all, and this is a really important prelude to mediation. I say to them, why are you here? Mm-hmm. What do you want? And almost every one of them says, we want to get divorced. We want it to be more amicable than we are right now. And we want to move on with our lives. And so I say, okay, keep that in mind, because that's the lodestone. That's the guide for going through this. And then I'll say to them, let's come up with some ground rules. If you're talking, the other one doesn't, because the main thing I find is that they just talk over each other.
And keep interrupting each other, because they want their point in and the other person wants their point in, but no one's listening to each other.
That's right. And one of the things that they're afraid of and why they keep interrupting each other is because if one spouse is saying something derogatory, they don't want me to believe it. So they'll cut in. That's not true. I didn't do that, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so I remind them, I don't make any decisions. I don't tell you what you have to do. It doesn't matter if I believe you or don't believe you.
Right.
So just listen to each other. Sometimes it takes practice.
Makes perfect.
Right. Because they are long entrenched ways of communicating with each other. And so if somebody starts talking and the other one cuts them off, I'll step in and I'll say, now how is that helping?
Right.
If you do that, what could you do differently?
Well, that's what I do too when I'm meeting with people as well. You know, I'll point it out. Do you realize that you just interrupted him 5 times?
Right.
And he is trying to get a point across. Let's just listen to what he has to say.
That's right.
And then I will give you every opportunity to respond.
That's what is so important.
Yes.
Because the reason they keep interrupting is because they're afraid they're not going to get that opportunity.
But Bill, what happens when you're living in a marriage where you don't have a voice, you're never heard, the other person is putting you down constantly, and you don't have that voice to stand up for yourself? That person, that other person, I always guess in mediation, you give them an active voice.
Yes, because an imbalance in power exists in almost every marriage, right?
Yes.
They bring that to the mediation table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes it's relatively minor. Sometimes it's extreme. And in extreme cases, you find often that the one with no voice also has no knowledge of the family finances, for one
thing.
That's
correct.
That they have been excluded from decision-making and power throughout the marriage. And so what I will say to them is that this process will not work unless you are both comfortable to assert your positions, your needs, your goals, those kinds of things. What can we do to make sure that that happens? And I'll ask the dominant partner the mm-hmm. same thing. And we'll talk again about listening to each other. And an important technique that we use all the time is to ask one spouse to repeat what the other has said.
Why do you do that?
Because they often don't hear what was said. Somebody will say something, and you see in the body language of the other one, they're affronted. You
know, I know. I'm laughing right now because even in my own marriage, my husband will say to me sometimes, you know, you're not listening to me. You're just have your own viewpoint that you want to get through to me, and you're not listening. And you know what? He's right. You hear that, everybody? And when he listens to the podcast of this later, he can hear that he is right, and he'll be happy about that. But honestly, I've had to learn that myself, that I have to listen to what he is saying without interrupting, because otherwise he doesn't feel heard or acknowledged.
That's right. And if that goes on long enough, it doesn't lead to a good place.
No.
And
I don't want to get there.
But see, you're on the right track.
Exactly.
But the thing is, the people who come to me have not turned to a different path.
Right.
You know, so they are bringing those very unproductive communication patterns into the process. And so it's breaking them, not the clients,
right.
The patterns, that is so important. And if you say to someone, repeat back what your husband just said,
mm-hmm.
and then he'll say, that's not what I meant, or that's not even what I said.
I know. That's very interesting you said that too, because sometimes I'll be talking to one of my clients and you know, they'll have the email or the text message in front of me that I'm reading from the other spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I am reading it completely different than how they're interpreting it. And I find that's because people cannot be objective in their own life.
That's right, because we bring so much emotion to it.
Right.
And, you know, all the other emotions that we were talking about, the fear, the anger, the resentment, all those things. So everything that we hear from the other spouse is filtered through that lens of the emotion.
Exactly.
So, again, it really does come back to communication. And when people are doing things that I see to be very, very problematic. I had a case recently where the husband had an affair.
Okay.
And the wife kept saying very, very derogatory things about him and the woman that he had.
How did you handle that?
So I said to her, you know, when you came in here, we talked about what is your goal? Where do you want to be? And it was the typical things. She wanted to get through this and everything. And I said, the things that you're saying, is that moving us towards that goal or further away from it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And she said, you know, you're right. You're right. That's not helping. She didn't stop completely, but at least she understood that if she wanted to get what she wanted, she had to stop doing that. It didn't mean she had to like him. It didn't certainly didn't mean she had to like the girlfriend.
Right.
But she couldn't sit there and verbally lash him throughout the process if she wanted, not for him, but what she wanted.
I know that, you know, we think about things in the same way. And I ask people all the time that are going through a divorce, what is it that you want? And how are you going to get there?
That's right.
And you're not going to get there by attacking the other person.
That's right.
The more that you attack, the more they're going to attack you.
Right. But you know what a big part of the problem is? People haven't clearly defined, and you probably hear this too, what they want. Because what they will often say when you say, what do you want, is, I want to beat him. I want to beat her.
I want to win.
I want to win. Right. And litigation is a win-lose.
Definitely.
Mediation, winning has a very different definition. You know, winning in this process is getting what you need in a deeper sense.
Well, let's talk about that in terms of litigation of going into court versus this, what you provide. Because going into court is two sides just presenting their arguments. One lawyer going after the other party.
Right.
Sometimes digging stuff up on them to prove their points.
Almost always.
Almost always.
Right.
And then, you know, the other side defending themselves. It's like a mudsling fest.
Well, right, because the other side is not only defending themselves, but attacking back.
Correct.
So that's why it tends to escalate.
Yeah, I'll never forget one client that told me when she was up on the witness stand, she felt as though she was just being berated about stuff that was so personal.
Yeah.
And she inside was dying while she had to go up there and talk about this stuff.
So
I wouldn't want that.
Nobody wants that.
I know.
But the other thing is, most people going into litigation have no idea what it's like. They have no idea how long it's going to be. They have no idea how violent, I don't mean physically
violent,
but emotionally violent.
Yes.
And expensive and time consuming. And
that's another great point.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my clients have litigated and spent $200,000 or more. I mean, $1 million. I've heard it all.
Yeah.
There, in your opinion, is there any reason to do that?
There really isn't, because in mediation, we get to the same point. We get to the same end point. We just get there very differently. It's also very important for your listeners to understand that there's a myth that people with high net worth, high incomes, complex financial lives can't mediate. It's not true at all.
That is not true. I agree with you.
Because we use all the same experts. We have people value businesses. We do lifestyle analyses. All the things that we do in litigation for high net worth and complex financial life people, we do in mediation.
Right.
You know, and it's not uncommon for my clients to have two attorneys. But the attorney's role is very different. They are advising them through the process. They help organize the resources that need to be brought to the table.
Okay.
But then we sit and negotiate in mediation.
But isn't that what, I mean, even in you're in family court, you know, a lot of times I'll say to my clients, it may never get to the trial.
True.
Most times it's settled on the steps of the courthouse before you go in that day.
Like 97%.
Right. I think it is very high.
Yeah. The number of cases that actually go to full trial, partially because the expense would be ruinous for most people.
What is the cost for mediation as compared to full-blown litigation? What are we talking about? I think the listeners would really like to know that.
Statewide, both in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, the average litigated divorce is $35,000 per couple.
Okay.
as you said,
average.
For many,
my clients.
No, and for many people, it's tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in costs. It's also very, very time consuming because you go to court, you go to the depositions, you go to meetings with your attorney.
Correct.
All those things.
All the letters back and forth,
right.
Everything.
So the cost is enormous. For most of my clients, they spend between $2,000 and $5,000.
Wow.
To get
that
divorced.
Is a big difference.
Yeah.
And you know, people that are listening out there right now that are going through this or have gone through it, you know, I'm sorry that you've had to spend that much money.
Right.
Which that money could have gone to many different things.
A new house, your children's education.
Yep.
A vacation after the divorce.
You need that.
Right.
All you may need
things.
Five of them.
all those things. And it is unfortunate. And I think part of the reason that people get drawn into that process is because they don't really understand what mediation could
do. Well, the first thing you hear all over the media, you know, and when you get divorced, get an attorney right away.
That's right.
And people forget the term mediation. And I'm not here today to say lawyers aren't good at what they do. You're a lawyer.
I've been a divorce lawyer for more than 30 years.
Right.
I still am.
And I think, you know, there's many great divorce attorneys. We're having one on next week.
Yes.
But I think people do not know that we can also take this a different route.
That's right.
With the mediation. Right. And spend a lot of less money and also learn how to communicate with each other.
You know, when we're talking about litigation, what people often don't understand is that if you win, in a sense, in mediation, in litigation,
yeah.
That means that the other side has lost.
That's right.
If you have children, where are you going to be 2 years from now? Do you think the spouse that lost is going to go, oh, okay, it's all fine, let's move on?
I'll tell you right now, they don't.
They don't. And those seething, simmering
feelings,
angers and resentments,
mm-hmm,
infect the relationship between the parents and harm the kids.
Right.
So it really is the classic Pyrrhic victory. If you win, what have you won?
Right. Well, a lot of people that do win would say, well, I beat her. Or I beat him, and she deserved it, or he deserved it. And, you know, that's my whole thing. No, that's not the right way to go here, because, honestly, the only people getting hurt here are your children, if you do have them.
Right. And the truth is, even the person who feels that they won, I beat him, I beat her.
Right.
You know, I don't have to pay alimony. I'm not giving them stuff, right? They don't realize that it's not even in their own best interest to do that.
Okay.
You know, and again, because of what I was saying before, what will the relationship with your ex-spouse be like going forward?
It's horrific.
Horrific.
That's the cases that I deal with every day.
And you know
the
what?
The worst of the worst.
And don't you find, though, and this is sort of a fundamental human nature thing of why mediation works. We don't like to be connected to people who hate us, right?
You got that right.
Did you ever sit next to somebody at work that you know didn't like you?
Yes, I don't like it at all.
It's horrible. And with a spouse,
it's even worse.
It's forever.
I know. I mean, when you go to these games and to watch your kids and one parent sits down and says hello to you with your child and the other one gets up and walks away,
right?
You're not hurting the spouse. You're hurting your child.
That's right. And or at the games, they will sit and glare at each other.
Yes.
That's the other thing I
hear. Listen, everybody, deal with your anger. Bill and I cannot say enough about that right now. And we're not just saying it to say it. The people that can work on releasing their anger about the hurt that you have suffered do better in the long run. And mediation is something that can help you with that. We are going to go to another short break. You are listening to Real Divorce Talk with Dr. Sue. We will be back in just a moment.
Transitions Mediation Center has been offering a full range of divorce mediation services for more than 25 years. I'm Bill Donahue, founder and director of Transitions. Litigated divorce is not easy. Fighting, wasted time, tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. But the truth is, divorce doesn't have to be that way. Divorce mediation offers a very different option. I help my clients focus on common interests to resolve their divorce. Is mediation right for you? For most people, the answer is yes. It works if you're amicable, but it also works for very high conflict couples. They're the ones who have the most to lose from litigation. You may think mediation won't work if you're wealthy or have complex financial lives, but remember, corporate tycoons and movie stars mediate their divorces every day. Are you getting divorced? Call me at Transitions Mediation Center, 609-238-9245. I offer a free consultation. And visit our website, itsmydivorce.com, because it really is your divorce.
We all know co-parenting can be a difficult task to manage. It is hard to find a way to agree when it comes to parenting your children. It is hard for people to communicate and work together after divorce and/or separation. When you feel stuck, you need a seasoned expert to help you move forward. My name is Stephanie Newberg, and I have been working with parents for years to help them create a more amicable and productive co-parenting relationship. I understand your needs and frustrations. I also specialize in working with children and adolescents and can integrate the children into your family counseling and co-parenting work as well. Get help when you need it most by calling me, Stephanie Newberg, at stephanienewberg.com for a free phone consultation. My number is 610-883-0127. 610-883-0127. I can work with you in person, by Skype, or by video conferencing. Once again, that's stephanienewberg.com, or you can call me directly at 610-883-0127.
I'm Lee Schwartz, managing partner of the Schwartz Jordan Law Group. We are experienced family law attorneys who will help you through your divorce, support, custody, and other family law concerns. Our philosophy is simple: to provide you with the advice, guidance, and support you need to make sound and educated decisions that will prepare you for your future. We help our clients with all family law matters, including divorce and division of property. The lawyers at Schwartz Jordan have extensive experience assisting clients in child custody matters, child support, protection from abuse, and the preparation of premarital and separation agreements. Family law is all we do. For more information or to confidentially discuss your family law concerns, call us today at 215-967-9070 or go to our website at www.schwartzjordan.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. So happy you're joining me this afternoon. We're talking about, look, we talk about heavy stuff on this show each week. Divorce is a heavy issue. Okay. You know, down the road, we will do some other things like getting back in the dating scene and all this kind of stuff. That's important, too. You got to get your mojo back. But, you know, during a break, I was talking to Bill about, you know, I need him sometimes to come in and mediate for me with my husband or my friends or whatever. You know, we can always use a third party to show us a different way. And, you know, just because I'm a parenting expert doesn't mean I always know how to communicate all the time. We are, you know, I'm a normal person too. Well, I don't know how normal, but pretty much. And, you know, you need people sometimes to hear you and give you another viewpoint. And that's what Bill does. So, Bill, tell us more about mediation in terms of why it can be your savior, I think, in a lot of ways, even in high conflict divorces. Because my goal with high conflict divorced people and individuals is to get them to communicate.
Right. And the same thing is true with mediation. There's a concept that we have in mediation and divorce. It's the idea of what we refer to as a good divorce. And people often say that's, you know, got to be a contradiction in terms, but it's really not. And what a good divorce is that everybody in the family, both ex-spouses, the children, sometimes grandparents, and, you know, the family that's impacted by the divorce, are they doing well? Are they thriving a year from now, mm-hmm. 2 years, 10 years from now? And by thriving, what we really mean is the children have reached their developmental stages. Sorry.
It's important.
On time.
We talked about that last week when Marty Matika was on.
Okay.
That these different developmental stages affect how they're going to react to each parent.
That's right. And how the parents get divorced can often impact whether children reach those developmental stages on time.
Or they get stuck. I mean, I know kids in their 20s that are still stuck at 14.
That's right.
Emotionally, when the divorce happened.
That's right. And the higher conflict and the worse the communication post-divorce is for the parents, the more likely that is to happen and that the children won't thrive.
That's right.
And that can also impact the children's ability to enter into new relationships or relationships, yep, as they reach those stages. But also, part of the concept of thriving after a divorce is that the parents are supposed to be as emotionally and financially stable as possible, and hopefully will enter into new relationships.
That's right.
And if you go through a divorce that tears you apart emotionally and you carry the scars with you, the chances of you being emotionally stable, you might be financially stable,
right,
especially if you won.
That's,
you know,
correct.
Theoretically in the divorce. So you may be financially stable, but you may be an emotional wreck.
That is so on point.
So where will that leave you? And another thing that people don't realize is that second marriages
yes,
end in divorce at a much higher rate,
I know,
than first. And part of the reason for that is because people bring the emotional baggage from the first marriage.
And never got help to deal with that.
Exactly.
And they're kind of just filling the gaps in with this other person, but they really haven't done the work. And you see,
that's right,
because you haven't done the work on yourself, that's why those marriages end also.
That's right. And if you litigate your divorce, there's no process for doing that work that you're talking about of enhancing communication, of working on the relationship.
Well, that's correct, because, you know, you bring up another good point is when you are litigating and you're being pinned against each other, there is no communication in between there, such as let's work this out, let's try to make this better. No, people are living in panic every single day. People are digging up stuff on each other. And they're living in a very destructive world. So therefore, that destructiveness filters down into their kids.
The word panic was perfect, because that's what people are feeling in a litigated divorce. Because it is really scary. There is always the question going on in your mind, am I going to lose? Will the judge give everything to the other side?
It's the same thing when lawyers, you know, most of my clients are represented by attorneys. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the attorneys will call me and say, can you please help them learn how to communicate better?
Right.
You know, and that's one part of my job. But I'm thinking to myself when they're saying that to me is, you know, they should be learning this in mediation. And I say that, have you ever considered mediation? And then somebody will say, oh, my ex would never go to mediation. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, there are some people where a spouse simply will not.
Of course.
And then there's nothing I can do. I say, have them call me. I'll talk to them.
Right.
If they really don't want to do it, there's nothing we can do about it. But if I can, I offer a free consultation.
Right.
If I can get people to come into the office so that they really do understand what I'm trying to help them do and what the benefits of mediation can be, almost all of them are willing to give it a try.
Yes.
You know, at least come to the first session. And if they come to the first session and we begin to talk about communication and all the things that we've talked about here, you can see their body language change. And they start to say, well, all right, I'll come back next week.
Yes.
I'll give this one more shot.
I feel the same way. You know, I don't always see couples together. I usually work more with one party over the other who's having a lot of trouble reuniting with their kids, you know, that after the divorce or even during the divorce. But sometimes I get to see each party, if they're willing to.
Right.
And, you know, I noticed the same thing that you do, that they both don't feel they're being heard.
Yep.
And when I can acknowledge that, you know, that I'm hearing what you're saying, this is different than what the other person is saying, but I think it's also valid too.
Yeah.
And I think that's all people want in the beginning of these divorces. And that's why I think mediation should be the first step.
I do too. And a big part of the problem is that if it's not, when they go to an attorney, some attorneys will say to people, I don't think mediation is right for you.
That is true too.
And so those people never come into the process.
No.
If people would, what you were saying before, mm-hmm. you know, when they think about getting divorced, oh, I have to call a lawyer. If they would just say, let's go see a mediator first. And then, you know, if you decide mediation isn't right for you, the legal system is always there for you. Right?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know, you can always opt out of this and go to that.
What's your success rate?
Of people moving through it. Mediating everything and then getting a simple uncontested divorce
yes.
is about 95%.
That is amazing.
It's very, very few people. To show you, I can remember mm-hmm. the half a dozen over the last couple of years that didn't work.
Why didn't it work with them?
There's a couple of reasons. So if one spouse comes into it with bad faith, and the most common reason for that is they don't want the divorce. And they think that if they can tie it up long enough, if they can, that this will be one more stalling tactic.
So is that really why people delay divorces so long?
Because they don't want to get divorced?
Yeah.
Yeah, often.
Or they want to stick it to the other person.
That too.
Okay.
But if somebody comes into mediation in bad faith, meaning they never had any intention of resolving the divorce, it won't work. And I tell them that.
Of course.
Right? I say. But that's rare. I mean, people come into it, they may fear that it won't work. They may fear that they won't get a good deal, which is impossible because in mediation, when they finish with me, I prepare an agreement for them.
Right.
But they take that to attorneys and review it. And nothing is binding until they sign it. So people think, well, oh, I'm going to get railroaded in mediation. You can't because you don't sign anything in mediation. You take it to your attorney. And if the attorney says, I don't think this is in your best interest, you come back to mediation.
So I'm not sure that people listening or most people that go through divorce understand that after the mediation, their attorneys still look at it.
With my clients, probably between 50 and 75% of my clients use attorneys to review their agreements and advise them before they sign.
I think that's smart, too.
I do, too. You don't have to.
Right.
But most do.
So, you know, I think the key here is, and I believe this as much as you do, two people need to learn to hear each other for change to take place in any kind of relationship.
Yes.
That is under duress.
Yep.
Marriage happens to be, you know, a prime one.
Yes.
Okay?
Sure does.
And everything in life is about negotiating.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. People who go through mediation, and it's true for people who go through kinds of therapies too, but people who go through mediation and really take to heart the communication skills that I try to help them learn, they apply them in other areas of their lives with coworkers that they can't get along with because the basic mediation conflict resolution skills are used in all kinds of areas. International law, they're used. Hostage situations, they're used, you know.
Some serious stuff.
Amazing. But the basic technique of here's what I need, what do you need to make this work as we go forward, that principle applies all over the place. Do I have time for one quick little anecdote?
You have more time than 1 minute, go ahead.
I was recently, we had to have a new heater put in our home.
Okay.
So the guy who comes from the plumbing company to put in the heater, said to me, do you remember me? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't, I apologize. Yeah. And he said, you mediated our divorce about 12 years ago. And then I actually, at that point, I did remember him.
Okay.
And I said, oh, I do. How did things go? And he said, it's amazing because when we came to you, we fought over absolutely everything. And they had two boys, young boys at the time. And he said, going through the mediation changed our lives, the way we talk to each other, the way we have lived our lives. And he said, our kids are doing great. And
it's a great story.
That's what mediation can do. I train lawyers and mental health professionals to be mediators.
That's
and
right.
That's one of the things I tell them, that story, because they have, as conflict resolution specialists, the ability to help people change their lives.
And I believe in exactly what you're saying. And that's why I think it is so important to try the mediation.
Yeah.
I just believe that, because you never know when you sit down with somebody like yourself who has the most calming voice I've ever heard in my life. And it really helps people to work through the anger that they have towards each other while they were living in such conflict within their own home. And please don't tell me that you're, you know, I've heard this a million times from people, and I'm sure you have too. We didn't argue a lot in front of our kids. They didn't know what was going on. No. They know everything that is going on.
Yes.
They're hearing it. And even if you think they're not listening, they are listening.
Yes. It really is a fallacy that people will, and people come to me all the time and say, oh, we've stayed together this long for the kids. There's been a lot of research showing that
That's
I'm sure
right.
you know better than I do, that there's been research showing that staying in a highly conflicted marriage is more damaging to kids than the divorce.
That's correct. And you know what I find too? And I would think the mediation would help a lot with this. As the parents are going through the mediation and they're learning to communicate better, they will then learn to communicate better with their children as well.
Absolutely.
Because when two people are going at it with each other on a daily basis, or even early into the divorce, you are in a state of high contention. You are in a state of panic, like I said before. Your stress level is so high. And that is feeding off into everything that you're doing.
And if you think your children aren't listening to you or aren't seeing what you do, watch their interactions and their behaviors, because they change. They become more hostile.
Yep.
They become
aggressive.
Louder, aggressive, because they are mirroring the behavior that they see between their parents.
I love that you have the psychological background too, because everybody's a mirror of each other.
Yeah. And what goes on in a highly conflicted, highly dysfunctional family, that people think that staying in it is somehow for the benefit of the children.
It's not.
Is not true.
And, you know, we're doing this radio show, and I do my work, and Bill does his work, because we want families to succeed.
Right.
We want you to not live in a state of drama and chaos every single day. It takes a toll on you.
Yeah, it does. There's one other point that people don't realize about mediation and family mediation. About a quarter of my practice is post-divorce mediation, where people have gotten divorced, but then they're having parenting issues down the road. Mediation is an excellent way to address those issues, because the court system is not.
That is another episode that somebody wrote me last week. Dr. Sue, will you please talk about the family court system? And that will definitely be a show that we are going to talk about. And I do a lot of speaking about that too.
Yeah.
But yes, you're absolutely correct.
To take those day-to-day family dispute issues involving children to a family court judge,
Well, it goes back to what I say to everybody. I say, do you want a stranger deciding what happens with your family?
Right. And no matter how long a custody trial is, or a trial about post-divorce issues, the judge can't know your children, can't know your family. They know what two opposing sides out to attack each other are putting in front of him
and,
or her.
And the judges don't like that either most of the times. They do not like that. They always want you to find ways to work together. And look, Bill and I both know there are some cases that cannot be mediated.
True.
That is true. But don't fool yourself if you feel as though, you know, you and your spouse are slinging, oh, we're going to the end of the show right now. But I love the music. But I want to wrap up and say that there is a way out of this, and it can be through mediation. Now, Bill, how can people get in touch with you?
My website is itsmydivorce.com. My phone number is 609-238-9245. Give me a call. I offer a free consultation, and that's how you get started.
And, Bill, you got my endorsement. You know that. And
thank you.
I really would love people to reach out to Bill, even for the free consultation, to understand that this process can be for you. Thanks, everybody, again, for joining me today for Real Divorce Talk. And I will be right back here with you in Philly, New Jersey, New York, and all over the country through the podcast next week. Have a really great week, everybody. Bye-bye.